Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Do you have the Trace Together app constantly switched on the phone, or would you prefer to get a token ASAP?
So I'm doing okay with the app at the moment, and I need to look up where to get the token, of course. People have been lining up to get this. It's that digital system, right, where the government has implemented to allow for better contact tracing in response to the COVID-19 pandemic here. And of course, I am guilty of occasionally forgetting to check out. That's the thing. Yeah. I remember 20 minutes later, oh yeah, got to check out.
But I remember in the early days, you were the one that actually brought up to me and all our listeners that, hey, you know, download the Trace Together app. Same name. That's what initially was using Bluetooth. And now it's being supplemented by this physical token.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier, doesn't it? So it was launched on the 20th of March and it works by exchanging these short distance Bluetooth signals between phones. We know that's what the app does, right? And all of this was done using Blue Trace protocol developed by GovTech.
Yeah, in fact, making headlines recently, the distribution of Trace Together tokens will be progressively expanded to about 100 locations worldwide, you know, places like malls and community centres.
According to the Smart Nation and Digital Government Group, more than 100,000 tokens have been collected since distribution kicked off. That was on September 14th at 20 community centres and clubs in the Jalan Besar and Tanjung Pagar regions.
You know, naturally people will think that this is some kind of a tracker. So it's interesting to really take a look at how the reception has been with the public and what GovTech has been doing to get more public support. So on the line with us this morning is Jason Bay, Senior Director, Government Digital Services at GovTech. Jason, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Very good, sir. So I want to take advantage of this moment. Jason, if I say your name, can I get my Trace Together token earlier? I support
we'll
it, you know.
We'll discuss this on offline, I'm kidding.
I'll follow protocol, don't worry.
But I think more to the point, actually, for users, if you go to tokengoware.gov.sg, that's actually the link that you can go to get information about where the tokens are available.
You see, I like this, you know, this facetious question, and you came back with a very smart answer. Thank you, Jason. That is very helpful information, so thank you for that. Well, of course, the Trace Together digital system is this that the government has rolled out, has been implemented for, you know, better contact tracing in response to the pandemic here. And that's it comprises of the app, right, and the token. So once we have our hands on the token, do we need to use the app as well? How does it work?
The Trace Together program really comprises the app and the token. Both of them, right? We started with the app in March, and the tokens were first produced in June and distributed to a small group, and we've since expanded the distribution. I think if you go back to the original premise of the whole Trace Together program, it's not just about whether you have the app or token or some other Trace Together device. It's whether other people around you have the same Trace Together device or are participating in that larger program. So the adoption, the coverage of the system is key. Now, because not everyone in Singapore has a smartphone or, you know, it's part of the digitally included segment of the population, we developed these tokens essentially to cater to these potentially excluded and vulnerable segments of society. And that's really important because I think, you know, the research has shown that COVID-19 has particularly adverse consequences for certain age groups, you know, elderly persons. And it just so happens that that's also the group that we worry the most about in terms of access to technology, access to smartphones. So the tokens are really there for people who may not have a compatible phone or prefer not to use Trace Together on their apps. But at the end of the day, to come under the umbrella of the program, you really just need one of these devices. So if you're working well with the app, and Manisha, I heard you said you were doing okay with the app, then that's all you need. But if you prefer the token, then that's exactly why we've produced these tokens, so that more people can come on board and participate. But more importantly, participation also allows us to inform you sooner and thereby protect you, protect others around you, and help to make the job of our frontline contact tracers that much easier.
Jason, I remember at the start, downloading the Trace Together app, you had a bit of a slow start, and then I think it picked up pretty well. And now you've got these Trace Together tokens, right? Could you walk us through some of the challenges of coming up with these tokens? You know, on one hand, it's coming up within a short period of time, but at the same time, it's never really a short period of time if the elderly don't have smartphones, right? Plus, you know, all the supply chain issues and whatnot. What were some of the challenges that you guys faced?
Well, it's not just us, but this whole pandemic has just been one challenge after another. You know, first it's manual contact tracing, and we have to stand up that capacity. So I can't speak for my contact tracing colleagues at the Ministry of Health, but I imagine that they're under stress on a day-to-day basis, right? And so when we did the app, it was also put together in a very compressed time frame. We only had about 8 weeks to put it together, and it was a huge interdisciplinary team. Mm. I think the same challenges come in for the tokens as well, because you're right, it's different, right? With apps, you know, the marginal cost of distribution is practically zero. Mm. But with the actual production, I mean, you're actually issuing tenders, you're working with suppliers. These are all very complicated endeavors that, you know, would ordinarily take, you know, maybe at least a year. But we've managed to compress the timeline quite significantly. And I think, you know, that just speaks to the mission focus that everyone has had around COVID-19, around, you know, just figuring out if there's a way that we can use technology to make contact tracing that much more effective in Singapore for Singaporeans. Yeah. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's just been a roller coaster for all of us, frankly. Yeah.
What's the download of Trace Together so far?
Right now?
Roughly.
I see the exact numbers here.
Oh, okay.
We have more than 2.5 billion users right now on the Trace Together app. And if you add the tokens in, I think we're pushing over 200,000 tokens right now as well.
So about 2.7 million of the population.
So that's right. Yeah. So 2.7 million. I think we're kind of approaching the 50% total coverage ratio, which is really encouraging. And if you compare that, you know, with, you know, other app development teams that we've been in touch with around the world, I think that puts us pretty much right at the very top in terms of coverage, which in turn drives effectiveness of the overall system.
You just said something that really piqued my interest. You said you've been in touch with other app development teams around the world, because all I can thinking is it would be very good if some other countries picked up on this smartness going on here in Singapore, because they really need help. What are these other teams telling you?
Well, I think what we've been able to do is really just share our own experience, and it may or may not be translatable to their own, you know, domestic circumstances. But since, you know, Trace Together was the world's first national contact tracing system using Bluetooth technology, we felt we had an obligation to put this out there. It's not something that we can, you know, get directly involved in helping to roll out for all of these other countries and jurisdictions, but we've open sourced our code, we've open sourced our protocol, BlueTrace. I think you mentioned it earlier on, and I think that the idea behind that is to help other countries, you know, to consider how they might use the technology. Now, as it turns out, I think what everyone has also, I'm sure, been aware of is that Apple and Google have announced their own system as well. And that, in a sense, builds very much on the same concepts that we had, you know, in January and February leading up to our launch in March. It's a slightly different direction, but I think the potential of Bluetooth technology, it's a consumer technology that we've been using in our cell phones for 20 years now. The application of a relatively well-known and established technology in a very novel way, you know, to help public health outcomes. I think it's just something that, you know, we just want to spread the message as widely as possible. And, you know, by open sourcing the code and by sharing our experiences, you know, I think it's just, you know, a little bit to help, you know, the world to deal with COVID-19. And it's not just the technology, it's also the integration, right? With all of the contact tracing workflows on the back end, we're constantly in contact with our own Ministry of Health colleagues here in Singapore on the design and iterations and, you know, enhancements that we continually make to the app, specifications for the tokens, and even private companies, you know, that might be interested to get in on the action and contribute to the whole Trace Together movement.
Okay.
So span of interactions that we've had.
Yeah, that's right, I'm sure. And one of the conversations that has also been happening overseas is around some of the myths surrounding this these sorts of apps and Trace Together tokens. And on that note, I'm going to hand to my co-host, who I'm sure wants to ask you those questions.
Why'd you do that?
It's time to debunk those myths.
Oh my gosh. No, but people watch too many movies, right? And they think that I wear this token, it's like wearing an ankle bracelet and the government can follow my every movement. How? I got to hide under the grid. What do you say to that?
I mean, there will be the tinfoil hats. I think they're sensitive to that because, look, this is a new technology. And with any new technology, you know, Arthur C. Clarke, right? Any sufficiently advanced technology is going to be indistinguishable from magic. And we want to demystify the technology and make it easier for people to understand what's really going on under the hood. So I think the first point I would say, the most important point to say is actually we do not collect GPS location information from the app. So the notion that we can track your location, it's just bonkers, doesn't exist. We don't have that capability. And actually, for the tokens, it's even easier. I mean, with the phones, obviously, we've got Wi-Fi, we've got internet connectivity, we've got mobile data and things like that. But on the tokens, people have torn apart the tokens and seen that there isn't even a mobile connectivity, and there isn't even what you call that, a 4G chip in the device. So there's no internet connectivity, there's no Wi-Fi connectivity. There's no way for us to pull data off the token. With the app, you know, within, I think it was 2 days of our launch back in March, people reverse engineer our app. Now, it's not something I officially sanction, but they've reverse engineered the app. They've looked at the source code, they've poked at it, and they've published their conclusion saying that, yes, the app developers are true to their word. There's nothing in here that tracks your location on an ongoing basis. So I think those are important points for us to communicate, to debunk both a myth, but also to, you know, at the end of the day, people participate in this program because they trust the government has, you know, worthy intentions and motivations, and that this ultimately will help them more than anything else.
Okay.
Yeah, they put the phone in a potato chip bag like Sarah Connor from The Terminator.
You could do that, but then it defeats the purpose of being able to pick up, you know, your interactions with people close to you.
Okay. So slightly different question then. Of sure. the data that you would have on any one person, the limited data, how do we know that it is safe, that data?
How do we know that that's safe? Well, the first thing we do is that data, the logs of all the people that you've been in proximity with, those are stored only on your device, right? And they're stored in an encrypted format. And in any case, even if you hacked your own device, even if you had, you know, unfettered access to what is stored on your own phone, all the data that's stored there is encrypted in a format that you wouldn't even be able to decipher. And so the only way to make sense of that data is for you to agree to upload that data to us if, touch wood, if you become a coronavirus positive patient. That is the only point in time where the Ministry of Health is then able to unlock the data and figure out who it is that you've been in contact with, who it is that, you know, is at high risk of potentially contracting COVID-19, and therefore, you know, should be reached out to and, you know, informed to isolate or, you know, to be notified so that we can bring them in for monitoring, treatment, and testing. Jason, so up until that point in time, yeah. Actually, you know, there's really no, if I could give you my unconditional assurance, that would be my unconditional assurance. I there is just simply no way for us to get at that data.
But in terms of saving time, Jason, with these Trace Together apps or tokens, I mean, what kind of time are we saving if, let's say, we are in the proximity of a COVID-19 patient, say, in a... Right. He's infectious, we happen to be in a stall together in a shopping mall. What kind of timeline, how much time do we save here? How much lives can we potentially save as well?
Yeah. So that's a really good question. And, you know, researchers around the world, I think that's an Oxford group that's published a paper that says that if you aren't able to contact trace and isolate people within something like 3 or 4 days of when a case is notified, then actually the odds of you being able to contain COVID-19 are very low. What we've been able to do through a combination of Trace Together, but also Safe Entry and other digital contact tracing tools, is we've brought down the manual contact tracing time, or rather the overall contact tracing time per individual, per patient in Singapore, from an average of 4 days to now less than 2 days. That time savings is absolutely critical to us being able to get out ahead of the virus and to isolate people before they in turn are able to spread the virus to other potential victims. So, you know, in terms of the impact, that's really it. And in some cases, the time taken from when somebody uploads their data to us to when we're able to notify their downstream contacts could be less than an hour. So for those contacts, it's bringing down that time from days to hours, even potentially minutes, although, you know, just want to be conservative here, you know, and under-promise and over-deliver. I think we can do it in a matter of hours.
Wow.
Well, that's a big difference.
When it comes to this pandemic, that is beyond significant. Okay, so in the future then, can we see the use of the Trace Together program for wider reasons?
Well, I think we said very, very early on that, you know, this program, we wanted to build this technology, and I'll let you in on a secret. When we built this technology, we thought that the pandemic was, well, it was an epidemic at that point in time. We thought that this was going to be a 3 or 4 month thing. Mm. And that we were merely seeding the idea that, hey, you know, there is a way that we can use digital technology in a smarter fashion to to help us to deal with outbreaks like, you know, like SARS, like MERS and things like that. But then this pandemic became, you know, what it is, you know, the rest is history. And we find ourselves using the tool, I think, in a much more widespread fashion than even we had initially thought. But from the very beginning, we said, look, you know, we're going to build this tool out, we're going to deploy it. And after the epidemic or outbreak is over, we're going to mothball this and keep it as a drawer plan, because familiarity and demystification is important. People are going to be familiar with the use of Bluetooth in this way. It's a different way than, you know, than just using Bluetooth for your headphones or your wristwatches, your smartwatches and things like that. So we get familiar with the technology and maybe we'll be in a better position to use it the next time around, right? But, you know, I think right now we're seeing this grow. We've built the tokens, obviously. We want to drive for much wider adoption of the TraceTogether program, both the apps as well as the tokens. And I think it's going to help us for any subsequent second wave or maybe a third wave of infections coming in, especially as borders open. So this is going to be more, not less important for all of us here in Singapore.
On that note, Jason, just to quickly wrap up, are you guys at GovTech looking at everyone in Singapore having their hands on this TraceTogether token? Or are you looking at just a hybrid, you know, some with token, a majority with the app?
Well, I think it's going to be a combination of both.
Okay.
Right? Because, like I said, the app is free. You can download it now. And we're constantly making changes to the app. In fact, you know, coincidentally, just this week, we're releasing a brand new feature for iPhone users, which you can access from the tips and shortcuts item under the More tab, which is on the bottom right of the app. And that's going to allow us to tap the back of our phones and go straight to the safe entry QR scanning feature. I think that's something that people have said, you know, have said that is one of the most powerful and convenient features in the app, because it's really fast. You can pretty much walk without stopping past the QR code and scan it, and that will activate the check-in. So it should be accessible by iPhone users over the next few days. And I'll just ask, you know, listeners, please update the app this week. Take advantage of this super convenient feature. I think you'll love it. And I think it just goes towards driving adoption of the overall program, whether for TraceTogether or safe entry. And as I said, you know, it's a combination of all these systems that's going to make contact tracing that much more effective and in turn inoculate and protect Singapore from potential future waves of this infection, because we don't know where, you know, how long the COVID-19 pandemic is going to last. But, you know, it's important that we have, you know, all of our instruments and tools ready at the go to deal with the upcoming challenges that we see in the coming months.
Okay, Jason, just to finish, and this is not a question, it is a thank you on behalf of all of us for all of your hard work and to your team as well. So thank you.
Not at all. Thank you. And you guys have a good day.
We've been speaking with Jason Bay, Senior Director of Government Digital Services at GovTech. Jason, take care and stay safe.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.